We are kicking off a new sermon series this morning that will carry us through the bulk of the semester called Encounters with Jesus. Jesus encounters people in the Gospel of Luke, and it shows us what God is truly like and what he's calling us to be in him. And so I'm excited to dive into the series and into our text this morning. We're going to be studying out of Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. If you have one of the blue pew or white pew Bibles, it should be on page 500, unless you have the large print. I'm not sure which page that's on. But I invite you to join us in the reading of God's word. Let me open us in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, which is powerful and is sharp and is written for us to know you. Lord, would you reveal yourself to each heart this morning in Jesus' name, amen. Luke 2:41 through 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is God's word. For those of you who don't know, my wife and I, we lived in New York City for 16 years, and I, before being lead pastor here, one of the things that I did was to minister to college students, which is why we're always so excited to have those of you, college, undergrad and grad students, as well as everyone else here, of course. But one of our ministry partners, folks that were partnering with us financially and in prayer to do the ministry that we were doing, they told us this story about how they went to the beach. I think it was in North Carolina or South Carolina. And they had three boys, and one of their sons got lost. And that's like every parent's nightmare, right? And so they had to call the authorities and everything, and so there's this whole search going on. And thankfully, by God's grace, they did find their son. And if you knew their sons, this is the one that was going to get lost. But you know, one of the things that they learned is that for a kid to be outside in that scenario, they're going to go downwind. It's just some kind of reality. They won't walk into the wind, they'll walk away. So they searched downwind, and sure enough, they found him. And oftentimes when kids get lost in scenarios like that, there is a sort of lesson that's learned. You know, in some cases, not in their case, maybe parents need to be a little bit more watchful. In other cases, maybe kids need to be a little bit more attentive. But in the case of Jesus getting left, there's a different lesson. It's teaching us something about the nature of who God is and what he's called us to be and what he's calling you into this morning. As I've said before, our series is Encounters with Jesus. Jesus encountering people in the Gospels to show us what God is truly like and what he's calling you and I to be in him. The title of our message today is A God of Intimacy, a God of Intimacy. This is what Jesus is showing us here. And there's 3 points here in the text: the value of devotion, the necessity of understanding, and the model of intimacy. The value of devotion, the necessity of understanding, and the model of devotion. The value or the importance of understanding, or I'm sorry, of devotion. In verses 41 and 42, it says that, and now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Passover is one of the great feasts in Jewish tradition. It's the feast that reminds them how God delivered them from slavery in Egypt and how he saved them from the angel that was passing over to bring death. He passed over and didn't bring death in their camp and brought it on the Egyptians. And that was the final plague that allowed Pharaoh to let the people go. And it's an annual remembrance of God's faithfulness and deliverance. Every year, Mary and Joseph went to go celebrate the feast. They lived in Nazareth. And it says that when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. So Jesus is 12. He's about to turn 13. Have you ever had, so in your family upbringing, did you have a family pilgrimage, an annual pilgrimage? You know, maybe it's to Disney World. Did you ever do that one? I've heard some families here that you would get up and you drive from central Illinois to Disney. I'm like, how do you do that? I don't think we're not doing that. That's for sure. We have four kids. There's no way. Plus all that it costs once you get there. Maybe your family pilgrimage was out west in one of the great parks, you know, one of our great national parks. Or maybe you had a family pilgrimage, I don't know, to Chicago. Of course, a lot of you live in Chicago, so maybe you went to Michigan or something like that. Or maybe you just went to grandma's. But in any case, maybe every summer as a family, you get together and you go visit somewhere or do something. And there's all the semblance and significance of that, but the importance is maybe family time or seeing extended relatives or reconnecting with friends that you vacation with or whatever the case is. It shows a value. And in the case of Mary and Joseph, their annual trip to Jerusalem shows the value of devotion. That's a value that's prescribed for us, being devoted to God, regular rhythms of worship. If you were to read, we're not reading it in our sermon series, but if you were to read everything up to this point in the Gospel of Luke, you see that Mary and Joseph, they're devout. They're devout, but there's something that they're missing. They're not understanding. We'll get to that in a minute. Mary and Joseph, they have this annual pilgrimage. And the thing about it is it used to be the case that all the men would have to go to three pilgrimages every year. But in this case, because of various circumstances and the spreading out of the people, the Passover became the preferred one. And actually, it was likely only men who were required. So the fact that Mary goes demonstrates this is a devoted family. They probably had to travel about 80 miles. It's not the same distance, but let's just say every year there's a World's Fair in Chicago, and we're all living here. I know we don't all live here during the summer. Some of us are from other places, and we all travel to Chicago, and let's just say somewhere around Bourbonnais, you know, there's robbers, or nothing against Bourbonnais, just, you know, pick a random, that's totally arbitrary, by the way. I know that it exists. I don't know all the other towns between here and there. It was a dangerous journey, and because of that, they would have to travel in these large caravans. So think about it. You go with your whole dorm, right? Or you go with all of your neighbors. Okay, we're going up to Chicago. And so that's what it was like. It was 80 miles, and so you probably travel, you've got camels or something, 20 miles a day. And this is a commitment. It's a big deal, all right? And so the fact that this is shown in a very favorable way in the scripture is really showing us, okay, God is calling us to be a people of devotion. But here's the thing. You might say, yeah, that sounds right. But I can't do that. I can't be that devoted to God. I got so many other things to worry about. I got school to worry about. I got kids to worry about. I got work to worry about. I got deadlines. I got emails. How can I be devoted to God? Or maybe you say, you know, yeah, I'm just too busy. Or maybe you feel like if you hear God calls you to devotion, man, God is always demanding things of me. I just don't think I can do it. I can't live up to his demands. Or maybe you're feeling this way. God's always asking stuff of me, but when is he going to do something that I'm asking of him? You see, if you're in any of those categories or any others for that matter, you need an encounter with Jesus. See, he's going to show you something about God that you actually are missing, that you need more even than devotion itself. And so our first point is the value of devotion. But we need more than devotion to encounter the living God. The second point here is that we need understanding. Now, how is that the case here? What's that all about? Well, when you get in and you get into what happened. So we've set up here this devout family. They're traveling down. They're making the journey. And in verse 43, when the feast was ended, they were returning, except they were missing somebody. Jesus stayed behind. However, the parents didn't know it. So here we have this whole lost child scenario. Supposing him to be in the group, remember, this is a big caravan, and it could have been the case that the kids and the women were up front and the men in the back or whoever, however the order was, big enough caravan for them to make a whole day's journey, thinking Jesus is with them, but at the end of the day, maybe around dinner time and trying to gather everyone out for the meal, they realize, oh, he's gone. He's not here. Did you see him? No, I didn't see. I thought he was up there. I thought he was with you. Can you imagine the anxiety Mary and Joseph felt in that moment, the panic, the sense of, oh my gosh, what happened? Maybe you heard about it about a month ago or so, or a month and a half. Riker Webb, who lives in Montana, a three-year-old who got lost in the woods. Did you hear about this story? So what they found out after the fact, he goes on this walk. He decides to go on a walk. A three-year-old decides to go for a long walk. That's what he told them anyways. And he ends up 2 miles away from home. And so there's thunderstorms. There are temperatures at night dropping into the 40s. He's gone for 2 days. Parents are freaking out, as you can imagine. 2 days. They get this whole team of people, an army of people, looking for Riker. Have you seen Riker? Where is he? Where is he gone? No clue as to where he went, why he went, when he went. But thankfully, there was a local family who had a shed, and Riker found himself a shelter in their shed, and they heard this whimpering from the shed, and they went to open it, and they found this scared little three-year-old, and thankfully, he was reunited with his parents. But can you imagine what his parents must have gone through? It reminds me of a dream many years ago. So we do have four kids. Our oldest is 13. But when we had our first one and he was little, Becca had the nightmare of all parents, a dream where we lost our oldest and physically lost. She was searching in a house. She was asking people, have you seen him? Have you seen him? And the sort of response was very casual. No, I'm sure he'll turn up some. But as a mom, have you seen him? Where is he? I'm looking for him, the search. Can you imagine the agony that Mary and Joseph must have felt? We know that they have agony because when they do finally come up to him, Mary says in verse 48, we've been in great distress. It's a word that means pain. We've been pained at seeing you gone or not knowing where you were. It says that it was 3 days in finding him. Probably what that means, it was the one day, the first day was the day's journey out. The second day, the journey back. The third day was the day that they found him in the ways that Hebrews would count time. We think about the third day Jesus rose. It was, we would count that differently, but it's the third day in the Jewish tradition. But often when a child is lost, it, as I said earlier, it shows a need for either closer parental watch or perhaps stronger obedience from the child. Jesus being left behind shows us something different altogether. It shows us our need for understanding of God and who he has made to be. Not the kind of understanding that makes our head bigger, but the kind of understanding that makes our heart bigger. It transforms our heart. How do we know that? Compare this. Compare Jesus and his parents and what is said about him and what is said about them. It says in verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And catch this, all who heard him were amazed at his, what, understanding and his answers. For those of you who are educators, you often can find out the brightness of a child or your pupil, however old he or she may be, by the questions that they ask, not just the answers that they provide. And we see that in Jesus' case. People are remarking at the questions that he's asking about the word of God. The temple, by the way, is the place of God's presence and the place where God's word is taught. It is the Father's house, and Jesus is there listening and asking questions and answering questions, and everyone is marveling at his answers and his understanding. But meanwhile, when Jesus explains why he is there, and he indicates that Mary and Joseph should have known that he would be there, do you see how they respond? It says in verse 50, they did not understand. You see, so Jesus understood, but his parents didn't. Jesus is showing us we need more than devotion. We need understanding. So you might say, well, okay, I've been devoted to Jesus. I've been devoted to God for 40 years or however many decades or however many years. I've been a Christian all my life. I've been a Christian for all these years. Are you telling me that I need to grow in my understanding? Yes, you do. There's more. Don't stop. Don't settle. Don't peter out. Don't plateau. Don't coast. You need devotion. You need to grow in understanding of who God is. He's calling you to something deeper, something greater, something more beautiful in your understanding of who he is and who he's called you to be. I love what Jesus says in the climax of this whole scene, the whole story here. Verse 48, his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Think again, 3 days looking for him, trying to figure out, retracing their steps. Where could he be? Where could he have gone? They end up in the temple. And Jesus' response, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Translation, didn't you understand who I am? Didn't you understand what I came here for? Didn't you understand who God really is and the value of the intimacy of Jesus with his father taking precedent and preeminence over even his relationship to his earthly parents? The Son of God in human flesh shows us that true humanity, the true humanity, the thing that we lost, the thing that you lost, that he's returning back to you, is a fully orbed devotion to the one who created you. So you need devotion, but you need more than devotion. You need understanding. You need to understand the God like this. And you still may say, well, okay, God's asking a whole lot more than I think I can give. I'll submit a few things and we'll move on to the last point here. A.W. Tozer says this, "What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. You see, Jesus is modeling the most important thing about him is what he thought about the Father. And he's modeling that for you and I. And so, you might say, "I've been devoted." You know, you might say, "I just don't have time. I've got other things I'm devoted to." You might say, "Well, God's so demanding." But this leads us to our last point, the model of intimacy. And actually, before I jump into that, as I was thinking and praying about our time to hear today, I was pressed that for some of you, you read a story like this and you hear, okay, Mary and Joseph, they were searching and they were in agony. They were longing. They wanted to be reunited and they were reunited. And you might say, you know, somebody walked out on me, but they never came back. And it's hard for you to connect, well, why didn't they look for me like that? You know, maybe it was a parent. Maybe you had a divorce in your home. Maybe there's someone who distanced themselves emotionally. They checked out. They were so consumed with their own pain. They didn't pay attention to you. And why didn't they long for you this way? You know what? Whoever that was, they were broken and they were wrong. But Jesus, he came looking for you. He's come looking for you. That's what he's showing you here. We're going to see why he's going to show us why we would want to be devoted to a God like this, why we would want to grow an understanding of a God like this. Last point, model of intimacy. Model of intimacy. Jesus is the model. He models devotion. He models understanding of God. He models devotion because where does he go? He goes to his Father's house. But he models understanding because it's how we refer to it. He didn't just say, I'm here in the temple. He gave a term of intimacy. He said, I am here. I had to be in my Father's house. It's intimacy. He's demonstrating to you that in the humanity that you lost, that we all lost in the fall, he's returning to you the intimacy that you should have. You see, the thing is, you could be devoted to somebody, but if you don't understand them, if you don't know them, you're basically a fan, right? So if it's whoever you follow on Twitter, like you might be devoted to them, but you don't know them. You're a fan. You're a follower in that sense of the word, in a very loose sense of the word, not in the following Jesus, but in just following whoever and whatever they're saying. But if you're devoted to someone and you have enough proximity to understand them, you have intimacy. That's a loved one. That's how Jesus lived with the Father. That's what he's calling you into. He models understanding. He models devotion. God desires more than a distant devotion. He desires intimacy through understanding with him. You see, God's not just an objective reality that's out there that somehow conforms to your whims and wishes. He's a person. And the thing about intimacy and the thing about a human being, the thing about my wife doesn't do everything that I want her to do, right? She's her own person. She has her own will. Sometimes she crosses my will. That's actually the hallmark of intimacy, right? Because I never saw the movie, The Stepford Housewives, you know, just robotic submission. That's not intimacy. In a real interaction. So if you say, okay, I have a personal relationship with God, does he ever cross your will? Does he ever call you to something you don't want? Does he ever say something that you disagree with? Because if you want intimacy, if you want to have true knowledge of God, you have to embrace this is a God who's going to say things you don't like, call you to things you don't want, but it's so much better than what you could have ever asked for. But here's how Jesus shows us this is the kind of God we want to have intimacy with and understanding of. It's in the last verse. It's what it says about him. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You see, the thing is, Jesus grew in understanding himself. So why is that important? Well, think about it. That means that Jesus from the womb, though he was God, he was fully man, and he didn't know everything in his humanity. He had to grow in understanding. He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in stature, though the stature was likely a physical rendering, the wisdom and favor, there's something that Jesus grew in, even as he was growing. You say, well, I thought Jesus is God. Well, if he is, he's fully God, but he's fully man. And it says in Philippians 2 that he emptied himself. He didn't empty himself of his divinity. He emptied himself of the fullness of the glory that he had with the Father. When he prays in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus asked, Lord, now return to me the glory that I had with you once before. There was something of him that was humbled, diminished when he came down. Hebrews chapter 2, 17, it says this, catch this, that he had to be made like his brothers in every way. This is the beauty. This is the God became like you. He became ignorant like you as a human being, one who could be capable of growing in understanding, growing in wisdom, growing in stature, growing in favor. He became like you in every way. He took on flesh. He had a sinful nature like you, never gave in to sin because, as it goes on to say in Hebrews 2:17, so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest to God for those he would redeem. You see, Jesus shows you that he came all the way down to where you are, all the way to your level, wherever you are this morning, whatever level socially you may find yourself on the lowest place. Jesus came all the way down to where you are. He emptied himself. He became fully human, fully divine. And honestly, it is beyond our grasp, but don't get lost in that and miss the beauty of what Jesus did for you. If God would empty himself in that manner, again, not of his divinity, but something of his glory such that he would be humiliated, he would come and be humbled and be like you and be in an ignorant state, where he had to grow in understanding. That's a God I want to be devoted to. See, that's what makes you want to be devoted to him. He came all the way down to understand you, to reconcile you to him. It was critical that Jesus would be both fully God and fully man to redeem your life. So this morning, can you admit you need to grow in understanding for who God is? Can you see your need for encounters with Jesus Christ? Can you see that he is showing you who God really is? Because in our own capacities, we cannot understand God ourselves. We need him to come all the way down to our level to make it plain. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes so that we can see it. Even his parents, even his devoted parents who had Jesus living in their house, they somehow were missing what was plainly available in understanding to them. Can you see you need to grow in understanding? Can you see that perhaps God wants to break down wrong understandings that you have in your heart of him so that he can truly show himself to you? I hope you can see the beauty of that. Can you see that your devotions to other things don't compare to what it would be to be devoted to this God? And if you've been burdened by someone who abandoned you, can you see that Jesus, he came all the way down. He's looking for you. He's like the Mandalorian. He's got your beeper, except he's not bringing you back in hot or cold. He's bringing you back to the true humanity that you lost, right relationship with God, with yourself, with the world, and with others. That's what he came to do. So if you've been burdened by abandonment, don't live in the bondage of your bitterness. Jesus wants to set you into freedom through your forgiveness of others, that you might be forgiven. Practically, this is an opportunity for us as we go through this series to encounter Jesus afresh. We'll hear about more of this later, but some practical next steps is on September 11th, we'll be kicking off our Sunday school series. That's a great chance for you to dive into either an apologetics class or a New Testament class. Perhaps it's an opportunity for you to join a small group and dig deeper into who Jesus is and community. If you're a student on campus, might be just digging into what your campus ministry is offering as opportunities to grow in your relationship with the Lord, or a grad student to grow in relationship with other grad students, so that as a people together, we'd be transformed by Jesus by having encounters with him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for coming all the way down to our level, meeting us where we are, showing us the true humanity that we've missed, that we've lost, providing a way for us to retain, to receive it back through you. And I pray in this season of our lives, Jesus, that you would manifest yourself, your goodness, your glory. We thank you that you are not only humiliated, but you, through your crucifixion and death and burial, you are ultimately glorified, and you reign in heaven, and you pour out grace here on earth today. May we receive your grace in this season of our lives afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.